It's December 19th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, the naked truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you once again to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, with all its eccentricities, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
We're going to hear many voices, Errol. You've got voices. I didn't know you had many voices. Well, I've heard him speak in these crazy voices, you know, but nobody understands him when he isn't using the voices, let alone when he is using the voices. Ah, sure, he's just now. Don't be on the poor boy. He's doing the best with the voice they give him. And God bless you there, boy. Well, thank you, all of you. Wow, what a great night we're going to have tonight. I can feel that. Our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Go Raw, natural foods. Raw food that is made. It's not like it goes right from the dirt into your mouth. There are a couple stages in between, but it's still raw food that's nutritious and so delicious. Thank you, Go Raw, for being our sponsor for years.
And you can get Go Raw at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, the organic section of Costco, to name a few. And if you want to know where you can find Go Raw in your neighborhood, go to goraw.com.
I couldn't have said it better. That's why we've picked I couldn't have said it better as our featured phrase of the week. There are lots of things said that clearly I could not have said better, like the writings of Shakespeare, Rumi, or Whitman, or for sheer balls out outrageous, even Donald Trump.
Oh.
But that doesn't stop me from trying. Okay, here's a sample of some of my attempts. To be or not to be, and I turned it to, trying to say it better, to shop or not to shop. You think it's any better?
No.
No, okay, forget it. How about this one? All the world's a stage. To all the world's a reality show.
Getting close.
Okay. How about the word made flesh to the word made fresh?
Complimentary.
Okay. I'm doing my best here. How about this one? From no time like the present to it's never too late to be in the now.
Oh, you're getting close.
Last one on my little list is from scared shitless to shared skitless.
which we did.
Which was the title of our show we did at that Fringe Festival. Anyway, tonight, what we're hoping to do is to be able to say some things that either you could have said better or you could not have said better. And just let us know which is which.
Uh-huh.
And you can let us know by sending me an email, and I hope you're ready, eastrider@gmail.com.
What a lovely compliment to you, the purveyor of this truth, that filled my consciousness with an aha moment. You gave me a gift of wonderment. At this time of year, when we bestow gifts upon each other, your words deserve a thank you, because I couldn't have said it better.
I couldn't have said that any better. I tried, like last Wednesday, because I heard you say that or in your head. And I tried then. I thought if I kept practicing over the week, by the time we got here tonight, I could have said it better. But I just didn't get any better.
Well, I couldn't have said that better either. It's a time of gift giving. I love gift giving. I love giving people things.
You're a great giver.
I like giving people things. Yeah. It makes me feel wonderful.
I almost think you're like better at giving than receiving.
Probably. Though I've gotten better at receiving. I always think that they say it's better to give than receive, and I realize that You have to have both, because it's like respirating. You can breathe out and you can breathe in. But if you just breathe out or just breathe in, death is the result.
So my attempt to say it better, and you tell me if I couldn't, instead of, what did you call it?
Respirating.
Yeah, breathing out and breathing in. To be able to say, here comes the breath, and there it goes. It goes in and in. There it goes. It's coming back. The breath is coming back. Yes, we can feel it entering into our lungs, but it's turning. The breath is turning around and going the other way, and now instead of bringing in oxygen, it is taking away all the detritus that collects in the lungs.
I don't think I could have said that better, but I could have said it differently.
Oh, okay. So this is a week before Christmas.
Less than a week before Christmas.
Yeah. I want to honor Christmas tonight with some different kinds of music. But just to get started with something that I think sets the tone and kind of follows in the footsteps of what we played Adam Sandler's song Hanukkah on last show, here is Chuck Brodsky singing, "On Christmas I Got Nothing."
My family never roast the chestnuts on an open fire. We never went around the neighborhood singing carols with the choir. Never went to midnight mass or sat on cold hard pews. My family, we had different views. Well, I never had to be good, just for goodness sake. And on Christmas Eve I did not try to keep myself awake, listening for sleigh bells and looking for a mouse. Sam always skipped over our house. Jimmy got a train set with a shiny new caboose. Billy hit a record set with nuts and bolts and screws. Tammy got a kit for making cheese fondues. But on Christmas, I got nothing, cause we were Jews. Cause I never had a tree. Wouldn't I know a mistletoe from a torpedo's knee? Never sat on Santa's lap, but hey, if Jesus was a Jew, wouldn't that make Santa be one too? I used to hate when it was cold enough for Christmas to be white. Never hung a wreath of holly, never strung the arm with lights. Till our houses look so pretty with the electricity they must use. No way lit candles. And I got a favorite pair of kangaroo shoes. Kathy got some soaps and an assortment of shampoos. Even Buffy's bingo got some brand new rawhide chews. But on Christmas, I got nothing, so we were Jews. Well, sometimes we eat chicken, sometimes we eat lamb. Sometimes we eat corned beef, but we never had a ham. Like it now with those wine and cider brews. We drank Manischewitz. Ugh. Sweet juice. Jimmy got a bike she had waited till spring to use. Tommy from across the street got his fur too. Joshua got a horn so he could learn to play blues. Horns, but I already had some.
That was Chuck Brodsky on why he gets nothing on Christmas. You can imagine this Jewish boy in the neighborhood there, and all these guys are getting these gifts and everything, and they're having Christmas trees and carols, and you're kind of sitting out there like, huh, what do they know that I don't know? I probably could have said that better, but it is a perplexing situation, especially the amount of divisiveness that is going on between factions. Here we are at Christmas, moving into an especially divisive time, it seems the way. And then I kind of take the big picture and I look back and I realize, hey, people come, people go, there's divisive times, there's peaceful times, not many of those.
And the lamb and the lion sat down together and supped, not on each other.
What people don't know is they had a conversation, because they didn't just get there. They had to work it out. So the lamb starts off by saying, hey, lion, what would it take for you, like, not to eat me? And the lion said, give me something else to eat. What do you like? And he said, well, I like most anything that's got good meat all over it. He says, go over there and eat one of those jaguars. They are delicious. And the lion went over there, and he came back, and he says, well, okay, you're not going to eat me. And the lion said, no, let's just kind of lie down together and snuggle.
What happened to the poor jaguar, though?
The lion ate the jaguar. This doesn't happen very often, only in my stories and in my imagination.
I think that one I could have said better.
Really?
But I guess because it's not about eating, it's about realizing that if you are satiated, not who you eat, but if you're satiated, you have no desire to eat of the other.
What it says to me, that whole thing, is there's no duality, the lion and the lamb. All opposites are reconciled in this universal integrated system that is playing itself out through this amazing phenomenon we call evolution. What would you say about that, Professor Umbridge?
Of course, it's very much like that, the way it's just getting about itself and proliferating. And as you said there, Earl, and I can see that, that any particular time in that vast history, if you think about the thousands of years and how many generations, and these little bumps of something happen in different periods, and everybody goes, whoa, gets all riled about it. And then it passes, and those people are now in the history book, and then we're on to something else. That seems to be the way of evolution. And one might ask, what is it doing? Does it have a purpose? Is it going anywhere? Is there some rhyme or reason about any of it at all? I would say this. The reason for it all, remember, in the beginning was the reason, and the reason was with God, and the reason was God. And then the reason said, I will manifest myself through all existence. I will be providing myself to give anyone who needs a reason for anything. I couldn't have said it any better. That is so, like, well, reasonable. Oh, so in other words, you're saying that the reason for living, the reason for existence, that it has a reason. So in the beginning was the reason. What we're all hoping to find is that reason, or the beginning was the word, the knowing that precipitated phenomena. Did you ever meet those? They came over last week, the knowing and phenomenon, but remember, knowing was precipitating.
I couldn't have said that better. I couldn't have said that at all.
If I might just bump in here, and I don't know, you guys seem like you were at a crossroads and didn't know which way was you were headed, but this is Barney. So here we have the Christmas season, and here we have people living their lives and making choices. Errol, you can't just say, well, yeah, this is a time, but it exists in all these other times and in the vast panoply of existence, and what's like one little century or a year or a second or a minute. However, for those people, and I think you have to honor this in the universe, they are here experiencing fully that minute that they are in, and they're making something out of it. There's purpose in that, making something out of it, and it's like the greatest gift that we could have been given is to make something basically out of nothing. And that's what we're all given the option to do, just by being creative. The universe is like a palette that says you can pull anything out of this you want. But, it says, if you want it to last, you have to make it out of love. Party, I could not have said that better.
I couldn't have said that better either. I realize that those are the greatest gifts that I could get, would be love and what love looks like. The gift of peace. Can you imagine having the gift of peace? You know those wonderful movies we've seen on the battlefields of the First and Second War when it's Christmas and both sides just stop shooting each other. And for a tiny moment in time, they are in union. They're together. They're not adversarial. They are celebrating this exquisite moment in time. Well, and I think, like, okay, if you have a moment, why can't you extend it? You can't go back to killing each other. And we saw that movie where they just really couldn't go back to killing each other.
There's a statement there. But you were talking about love just a minute ago. It's a wonderful thing to wish someone love. And I'm going to play this version. And this is a lady who we grew up with in the 50s and 60s. Her name was Keeley Smith. She had a great voice. She just died. Here she is. Keeley Smith wishing his love. Doesn't she have just a wonderful sound, like velvet?
She has a velvet voice.
So beautiful. I'm glad we got to share.
I like the words of that song. I couldn't have said those better. I wish you love.
That's a lovely thing. I wish you love.
That's a nice thing to wish somebody.
Top of the list.
Yes, top of my list.
Well, I wish you love. I want to share with you all that Rochelle had a body part exchange yesterday. We took one earlobe and we exchanged it in for... another. It was refurbished.
No. Don't say things that are not true, Errol.
It was guaranteed for 30 days. You could return the refurbished earlobe.
I had a hip replacement. I had my old hip that I'd been with for 78 years was taken away because it had kind of fallen apart, and I got a brand new one. One made in a factory.
Ain't it something?
So now I have two titanium hips, and I am legally a bionic woman.
So when they find your body after eons, and basically it'll be two titanium hips, but they'll be so advanced that they'll be able to reconstruct exactly what you look like out of those titanium
hips. Oh, God.
Like they do now with bones. You can give them
now, do you think your DNA gets attached to something that is not of organic material?
Absolutely.
How can they do that?
Because they won't come and be your titanium unless they get a guarantee that the DNA is going to... That's what they feed on. They love that DNA. It's like chocolate to them.
Well, if we're talking about foolishness, I could not have said that better.
Really?
Because that's pure foolishness.
So just to kind of get into this, you know, watching being with someone who's recovering, and it's made some changes. And what the most interesting thing, if I could try and give you the picture, see, we have this cabin, and it's only 196 square feet, but it's got something everywhere. Couches and tables and this and that, dressers and drawers and the kitchen, and all the things that go with the kitchen, and the table, the two sliding out tables, refrigerator, lamps, my sound, where we do the radio. It's full up. That would be our house. And Rochelle gets to practice recovering with a walker. So she has to walk around. See, she doesn't really walk. We should call it something else, because for you, it's really not a walker. It's a maneuverer. That's what it is. You're maneuvering around.
I couldn't have said that better. At the same time, I do get a certain section of the house where I can actually walk. It's about maybe 4 feet, and then I have to turn around and walk again. The physical therapist was here today, and she said, well, just think of it as laps. You take a lap, and then you take another lap, and another lap. So I've been lapping it up.
And that you got from your cousin who was a Laplander, didn't you? She was related to Ann Landers?
No, can't handle it.
We can't go through that kind of sequence?
No.
Then back to Christmas, and back to what for me is the most important thing we could be attending to, and that is elevating our consciousness and expanding our awareness. Well, I couldn't have said that better myself, Errol. I could not. That is just right on the mark. Expanding the consciousness or expanding the awareness. And as a result, we are making ourselves more available to the more goodies in life that want to make themselves available to us. There's goodies spurting out of everywhere, all over throughout the universe. Of course, the great paradox is that the goodies that are spurting out are coming out of slush and mud, explosions, and hullabaloo that goes on in the universe all the time that's given birth to different systems. It can be a very abrasive experience, which is all the more reason why you want to get as many goodies as you can, so you can tolerate the abrasiveness and maybe turn some of it into a goodie.
I couldn't have said that better.
Thank you, Senator. Make it into goodies. That's such a great idea. So whatever circumstance comes your way, you can make it into a goodie, which is not the same as a shouldy. Right, Rochelle?
No, we can't have a shoulda universe.
Think about how much of our lives are run by should versus how much are run by good in terms of what drives and motivates us.
And yet I think a lot of it is run by good. I was in the hospital yesterday getting an operation, which wasn't a small thing. They cut you open, take parts out, put parts in. And the two nurses who were attending me were really sweet, and they asked me what I did. I told them I think of myself as a spiritual philosopher, in the sense that how do you live your spiritual life? I try to live what I speak. They said, well, do you have any advice? You know, we like to get advice from the people we work with. And I said, yeah, best thing I could say to you was find the joy in every moment. Find the laughter, find the humor. Think of yourself as an actor in a sitcom, because all the things we get upset with, you know, I should have done it differently, or why did I do this? And you realize it's just funny, and it's humorous, and laugh at it. And if we laugh at ourselves, you have a wonderful saying, Errol, when we're laughing at ourselves, the ego is too
slippery to get a hold of you.
Right. And they said, yeah, we tend to take ourselves very seriously. And I said, yep. So let's lighten up. For this season of lights, you know, there's the Hanukkah lights, there's the Christmas lights. It's a season of lights. We need to lighten up.
Okay, this is my little gift to y'all. The four commandments, here they go, okay? Loosen up, lighten up, open up, and pucker up.
I couldn't have said that better. That's true. And they're beautiful. And when we think about them and we do them, it does change our life. We are lighter and more open and more giving and more receiving and all those wonderful things that make us feel good.
And right now we're celebrating the birth of what some believe was this pivotal incarnation in history and how it has affected our lives. And that would be the birth of Christ, Yeshua ben Joseph, as he would have been called by those who
knew him,
and were acquainted with him and hung out with him over the years.
Certainly by his mother.
Absolutely, his mother. As a result of that, we have this whole period of intense shopping.
Well, the shopping is the pagan Christmas, isn't it? I mean, that time of year when people, there was gift giving and eating and all that stuff, the solstice. But to me, the greatest gift was the gift of the enlightenment that, to me, speaks of Jesus. He's my teacher, and I try very hard to follow the things he says and not speak of them glibly.
I have this image that he comes in Elizabeth's life and he says, okay, this is how I chose to do life. You want to try? Centuries, people have wrestled with that issue. It is Christmas. I think it would be so good to celebrate Christmas with the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Keeley Smith, beautifully wishing us a Merry Christmas. And this is 2017, and it's December 19th, and this is Insight Out the Naked Truth, and we're broadcasting from Los Gatos. Rochelle is recovering from her operation. She's doing great, but the best news is she hasn't had much pain, and that's really good.
Very good. Pain sucks.
I saw Rochelle spend probably 15 minutes trying to get her left leg out of the front seat of the driver's side of the car. It was not pretty, can I tell you? She was in excruciating pain. So right now, and I have to remember to remind myself about this, there are so many people in pain. And yet, this time comes of, like you say, giving. Rabbi, as someone who looks at this phenomena from a more Jewish perspective, what would you say about it?
Well, for one thing, it's a combination of commerce at its best and people giving themselves a little permission to give and celebrate be together and acknowledge the goodness of life. And so they have to pay their dues, which is satisfying commerce and profit motive, which of course is what drives the phenomenon. I don't remember Santa Claus being at Jesus' birth. There was a midwife, there was an RN, and there was somebody else there, but not the
Santa. I think it was the three wise men, but there's, whoops.
They didn't have an RN?
No.
So what I would say about this is any opportunity to celebrate and rejoice in the quality and the nature of what we sense that this being, whether he was real or not real, but it's an impression that's jumped out of history that it smacks of love and goodwill and peace and kindness. You'd think we would take on some of those traits with the same degree of enthusiasm that we take on the opposite traits of being brutal and divisive and cruel and hateful and resentful. Ugh, just saying those words, it makes me want to go to the bathroom. So that's what you have. You have the opportunity to emphasize the good. And for a few days, put the cynical version of yourself aside. You can always get it back after the holidays. A lot of people do. Well, I could not have said that better myself, Rabbi. That's a great reminder.
When I think of the words, love one another as I have loved you, which is what the first things I heard that I realized I wanted to find out what that love was. Once I found out what it was, or tried to find out what it was, I could live it and be like it. Filled me with a great amount of grace that I wanted to move forward.
Speaking of grace, I want to share this poem that I wrote that in a poetic way cuts to the essence of what this birth particular moment offers us and the invitation that we're being offered through Mary and Joseph.
Come, Mary, come, Joseph. I have a word I would give birth to, a word I would make flesh. I would the world know me in the simple attire of its humanhood, its very self. Come, Mary and Joseph. Be not afraid to conceive me, of me, for me, to nourish together a child of promise, to raise God in your home, in your hearts. I would that you share this child with me, that he be soft as flesh and hard as bones, as well as wistful as spirit and open as thought. Come, Joseph, be the implanter of divinity for me. Come, Mary, receive my essence into your cavity. Be parents of my son, the personhood of who I am. For I have given my I am to my universe, and I would that all see the depth of who they are, the richness of who they can be. I would give my personality to inhabit helplessness as a lesson to all my children of the power of surrender, of how much I can trust myself to them, that they might be inclined to trust themselves more to me, that we may indeed become a child together and suckle one another. Joseph, come. Mary, come. And be not afraid of me. Fear not to fall. You may eat of me now. You may drink of my soul and pour it out for all to see, the stunning hope that I am, that I can be, as each of you give birth to me, as the child in you, innocent and free, the child in you, full-bodied divinity.
Seduction.
I couldn't have said that better.
I couldn't either. That's why I stopped writing it at that point. The music was Lynch. I don't know if you remember him. He was very popular in the 60s and the 70s.
He only had one name?
No. He had two names. But when I was listening to it, I was befuddled. Speaking of befuddled, we had the strangest occurrence last night. Rochelle's phone rings, and then we couldn't get to it. And then I looked at it, and we saw that the person who called us, turns out, was an old college buddy of mine. Huh? I thought, wow, first of all, I was very excited to have him call me. And then I called him back, and I started talking to him, and he first, you know, I'm going on, like, oh, man, it's great that you called, and then finally, when I let him get a word in, he said, I didn't call you. Who is this?
Wow. That was really interesting.
And I said, Errol. And then I started talking to him and reminding him of things that we shared together, because he became a psychoanalyst, and he's the guy that got me into that whole world of psychoanalysis and psychology when I was in college. I even did a version of a Shakespeare series of scenes from different shows called The Mind of Villainy, inspired by him. He was kind of my mentor. Richard, we were using kind of a Freudian, we gave it these characters like Macbeth and Othello and Iago. We tried to reveal the subconscious motivation behind villainy in these characters.
Wow.
It was a wonderful experiment, and I loved that time and that place. Oh, yeah, this was a very good time for many of us back on the time when people were so happy they fought the war, and they're having this great progress on putting people on the moon in cars, and Christmas is becoming like more profitable, and all these things were happening in the 60s or the 70s. And then what happened? Well, it was the 80s, and the 60s and 70s felt displaced by the 80s. So they protested the 80s, and they tried to come back in the 90s, but they wouldn't let them because the 90s wouldn't let them in either, because the 90s, they're weird happening now because it's 90s. And so the 60s and 70s had to go off and create another alternative universe, or some might say a fake universe, yeah? One that's out there trying to find itself with the 60s chasing the 70s like a dog chasing its tail, yeah?
There's no way I could have said that any better. I don't know what it's saying, but I couldn't have said it better.
Can I try? Yeah, you try and say it to her and see if you can know what I'm saying. Saying that what comes around goes around. You know, I couldn't have said that better. I asked this Buddhist monk once after 20 years of his practice, what can you say about life? That's what he said. What comes around goes around.
Like here we have this Christmas holiday, you know, it just keeps coming around. The Nutcracker Ballet, you know, that's the financial bread and butter for many ballet companies that gets them through the rest of the season.
Really?
I heard that on the radio just the other day. Given that this is the Christmas song season, I would be remiss if I didn't play one of my favorite groups and the way they do a Christmas song. See if you know who this is. You really should watch those. I recommend on YouTube because they are such a joy to watch, whoever directs and films that group of five, four guys and a gal. And they're a total treat. They're kind of evolution at its best. One of those things where evolution says, oh, okay, watch this. Not just watch it, but listen to this. This is great. Evolution gave us these senses, and then it refined them to the point where they could meet something like in hearing as amazing as music, the richness and depth of music and singing. It's what gives me faith, because music comes out of this silence. It always comes out of silence. You ever notice that? Just before the music starts? Unless people were talking, but assuming that they're not talking or yelling.
All sound comes out of silence. And when it's harmonic, it becomes music.
Well, this is Father O'Malley there, and you're talking about the music and the season. People have such a sense of that it's a little bit of permission that we give ourselves to. And if we have to give thanks to the world of commerce, well, thanks be it, you know, because we give ourselves a little permission to soften up and let our hearts, if not actually lead, then at least come out and be a major player in our relationships there. We're reminded of the goodness of family. Well, we understand that there are those who are not having a good family experience, but we can sure pray for them. I did want to say one thing about prayer, because people ask me, Father, what is it that actually happens when I pray? And of course, the people pray by saying something that's on their heart and what they want and what they hope for, and other people just pray by just holding an intention that there is some goodness that's responsive to an intention, or if not a verbal, but a silent plea for more goodness to abound in the universe and to pervade all these phenomena that might be not having such a good time of it right now. That's a wonderful way to think of saying a Merry Christmas, isn't it? To imagine consciousness being pervaded by a desire for goodness, and goodness stepping up to the plate and meeting it right straight on, and the two of them getting on forever.
I couldn't have said that better.
Wow.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Blessed Christmas to you and to all of you out there. This is Errol and Rochelle, and we're having a very unique experience, not the least of which, because Rochelle is recovering from her operation, she's sitting on the couch with her feet up. Normally, we sit together at the table, and I have to kind of look at her sideways, because if I don't look at her sideways, I'd have to look at her upside down.
It's impossible.
Try as we might. This universe is so filled with such variability. The great opportunity and the great challenge that the incarnation of Jesus presented to us is to not let fear dominate and control our lives, that we can live lives where we are driven and motivated by love. Love can be the driving force of our lives. So let's use this holiday time. Let's use the fact that we are so fractured in this culture to call forth a kind of and a quality of love that can integrate this kind of extreme separation in a world that very often will break up into ultimate separation and kill itself in something that's called war.
Yeah. We can, of course, understand that within our own selves, how we have warring thoughts. Like, I should do this. Why didn't I do that? We beat up on ourselves so much. It's very important that we give forth that love to us.
We started off our program with Chuck Brodsky singing about why he didn't get Christmas, but this is him addressing this issue that we're talking about, these times.
There's terror in our midst. Could be one of us. Behind you in the line, but beside you on the bus. Wearing camouflage, they might be wearing suits. These terrorists among us might be wearing army boots. These are dangerous times, and people are afraid. No looking back at history to see how enemies were made. Some dictators are bad, some dictators are good. That's a hard one to explain, but I wish somebody would. So let us all agree, let us not dissent. Let us not ask questions such as where our freedoms went. We'll just fly the flag, sing God Bless America. Question people's patriotism who don't join in the hysteria. These are dangerous times, so we lose our rights. Well, these terrorists among us do the dirty work at night. There isn't time to read the contents of the bills the Congress votes for anyway. Up there on the hill, and there's terror in our midst. Where's the good disguise? Fools a lot of people, they seem like such regular guys. Rewriting all the rules, you don't have any say. In fact, they even count on you to look the other way. And there's terror in our midst, all over the TV. But it's what's behind the words that scares the daylights out of me. Twisting of the facts, stretching of the truth. The terrorists among us, they manipulate the news. So let us all agree, let us not dissent. Let us not ask questions such as where our freedoms went. We're gonna build them schools, we're gonna build them banks, we're gonna build them pipelines from their fields to our tanks. time my heart goes out to Johnny, sent off into war. They convince him it's for freedom that he's laid his life down for. My thoughts are often with him, and I pray he comes home safe. And I pray for every innocent laid early in the grave. And who was in your house while you were at home? Look through your computer and through everything you own. What do they want to know? Which websites do you visit? What have you learned about them? They want to know, come on, what is it? These are dangerous times. You might be overheard using one of whatever they've defined as being a dangerous word. But if they don't like your songs, what if they don't like your books? What if you fit the profile based solely on your looks? And they listen to us talk, they read the things we write, and they watch us all on cameras. They know where you were last night. They know where you stopped for gas, which magazines you bought. Back in 1984, this was all just crazy talk. So let us all agree, let us not dissent, let us not ask questions such as where our freedoms went.
That was Dangerous by Chuck Brodsky. You might want to go on YouTube and you can hear and see him. I didn't want to leave you on that note, but maybe I did, unconsciously. Christmas can be a pivotal time to address the very things that he brought up in that song, because we can't allow ourselves to be empowered by that spirit that this person, Yeshua ben Joseph, allowed to take him over and express itself fully through his life.
That I couldn't have said better.
The gift is each of our lives can be dedicated to the same cause. People say, well, what is the cause? And I would say, it's the because. Isn't that what you say to children who ask questions that you can't possibly explain the answer? And they say, well, Mommy, why do I have to do that? And Mommy says, because.
I don't say that.
Mommy said so.
I never said that. But I'd say the cause was fueling humanity with more love.
And becoming the cause. I perceive that the universe, we are here to move from being an effect of prior circumstances into becoming more and more the cause of our lives and the cause of circumstances. That's what it really means when it says, do the will of God. God's will is to cause. And by us choosing to become causes rather than effects, we are in fact fulfilling that injunction. Oh, may your Christmas be filled with light, joy, love, and great laughter. There. I don't think I could have said that any better, but I bet you could.
I couldn't have said it any better.
So, Rochelle, have you learned any lessons as a result of this new hip? You seem more hip to me, just the way you're talking.
I don't know. Tell you what I do know.
What's that?
I know that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Wow. I couldn't have said that any better.